listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Matt Wellhelm back with you in Berea. It's Cleveland Browns Daily, and Matt, it's driven by
Liberty Ford.
That's right. Just got my wife, actually, in an Explorer, a new Explorer Sport from Liberty Ford
and
Solon.
Those are sweet,
Greg Bumbu.
Those are awesome.
It's great.
I'll tell you what, Ford's line is truly impressive to me because I think they're taking steps towards being very competitive in that luxury department, which is nice.
It's nice, and my wife is a very tough car critic, and at first she said, you know, I'm not sure. She got in there. She test drove it. She's like, oh, wow, this is good. And then all of a sudden now I don't even get to drive anymore. I told her, I was like, I got to get an opportunity to drive this car. This is my kind of car. I want to drive this car. And she's like, no, I'm really liking driving. I'm like, all right, I have no identity.
That's what I always say. I have no identity. Exactly. The one thing that we grew up in the car business, you know, besides me. And I've always wanted to have an F-150.
Dude, I just love my F-150.
They're the standard of truck in the industry. And I'm always just like, man, I want to drive an F-150. A few family members have them. I'm like, I drive them from time to time. I'm like, you just feel like a, you know,
like a boss.
Like a boss. Exactly.
You're a boss
high
in
off
the
road. It's exactly. Got, you know, and now the new engines are fast. You know, they've got, and then again, it feels like a sedan inside.
It does. And actually, the one I got, the crew cab, it's got room for the whole family. The kids love it. Getting in there. I love it. And as I've said, as soon as the Browns make it to the playoffs, we're filling up the bed of my F-150 with some au jus, and we're having an au jus pool party right there with some roast beef and whatnot. It's going to be glorious. I don't know how sanitary it's going to be, but it certainly is going to be pretty
Hopefully
good.
Hopefully you have a bed liner.
Pretty going to be. Yeah, I will. Yes, definitely, definitely. By the way, got a tip of the cap. We talked about the Chicago Green Bay game earlier. Martellus Bennett, who is on fire early in the season. He scored each of the first 3 weeks. He had 4 touchdowns in those games. He's now had 136 yards, becoming the first tight end. This is a fact I found out while doing the Fantasy Zone yesterday. The first Chicago Bears tight end to go for more than 100 yards against Green Bay since Mike Ditka back in 1961.
Had to throw it way back.
Yeah, you had to go. You did have to go way back. And he was being asked yesterday about the fact that, as you and I were talking about off air, you have all these big guys on the outside now and big tight ends flexing out, getting those matchups against safeties, and the back shoulder fade, it's pretty much unstoppable because of the height disadvantage. And he was asked about, you know, how his height has helped him, and this is a direct quote from Martellus Bennett yesterday, and I've already decided that it's a quote of the year nominee. He said, and I quote, there's two places where inches matter. One of them is on the football field. Martellus Bennett.
That is classic. That's so true. And I think you know, I had the luxury of playing with a future Hall of Famer in Antonio Gates and against another in Tony Gonzalez with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I just thought, I mean, they really, to me, revolutionized that position because we've seen,
for sure,
you know, the Jason Witten, the Martellus Bennett, the Mercedes Lewis, the Jimmy Grahams, the Gronkowskis. You know, it's put, you know, that flexed out position where you can line them up all over the place and they create a matchup problem for every defender.
He certainly does, and it's one of those things that's becoming the norm now. You get at the goal line, you throw your two receivers, and we saw Chicago actually do this yesterday. Two receivers go out to the left, Jeffrey and Marshall. They take all the attention, and then on the backside, one-on-one, Bennett's going to be with the safety, and that's usually a matchup that he is going to be able to win, and he has done so fairly effectively thus far. All right, we're going to continue our trek around the National Football League. We do want to hear from you, though, 216-578-0850. We're going to have 3 questions with the 3-time Super Bowl champion, Gerard Cherry, later in this show at 2:30 p.m. And of course, his former team, the New England Patriots, take on the Chiefs tonight on Monday Night Football. But as we look at these games from around the NFL and things that stood out, I would go ahead and say again, I thought Theodore Bridgewater stood out looking dominant in the Minnesota Vikings game, my guy. But I'd say right now, the best quarterback in the National Football League is the guy that you know, Mr. Philip Rivers, absolutely on fire. And it's amazing to me when you watch him, and I actually got to watch every play of that game, when he throws the ball, first of all, it seems like he's in agony throwing the ball. He kind of like shot puts it out there. The ball seems like it's in the air for an hour, and yet he just drops these dimes right where they need to be every single time. Eddie Royal's second straight game with 2 touchdowns. They got Keenan Allen involved this week, but this Chargers offense and the defense, because Blake Bortles looked pretty good against them early, and then they completely turned it on the second half. They're playing fantastic football. San Diego, I think, is the best team in the AFC.
They are. And you know what? Phillip Rivers, and we talked about it early with Johnny Manziel being a small guy, you know, and having to geometrically rise and drop those balls into those tight spots. Phillip Rivers is, you know, 6'5", almost 6'6", so he can lose a little bit on the arm because he's throwing down to his receivers. But Phillip Rivers is a first of all, he's a great person. He's an amazing competitor, which is why most fans hate him. But again, the guy's great. He's got an amazing tool set. Antonio Gates has been, we just talked about him, a figment in that offense for a very, very long time, so he's very comfortable there. And then they're just adding pieces. Malcolm Floyd's been there since I was there. But now Phillip Rivers is really manning that offense on his back because they've got Danny Woodhead's been hurt, they've got Ryan Matthews been hurt, and they're going to a guy, you know, Donald Brown, who's a free agent guy that's kind of bounced around the league, who's taking a significant portion of those carries. But Phillip Rivers he's the old gunslinger. You know, funny, quick note here, I love this about Phillip. Phillip Rivers actually has a son, and he named him Gunner. Gunner Rivers. So future quarterback down the road, Gunner Rivers.
And he plays catch with his kids after every game. That's a tradition.
Yes, he does. They run out there. They're everywhere. They're such a great family. He's a great guy and a close friend.
That's awesome. Phillip Rivers on fire. The Chargers on fire. They were at one point ahead 17-14 in that game against the Jags. Well, in the second half, they blanked them, winning the game 33-14 when it was all said and done. They're playing some phenomenal football. Let's talk about Buffalo and Houston, because everybody here wants to follow the Buffalo Bills and wants to see them lose every game. No offense to Victor, but you want to see the Bills lose, and that's what they've done 2 weeks in a row because the Browns have their first-round draft pick. And this is the first week that I started to see the commentary come out that, you know, Sammy Watkins hasn't been over 40 yards, but in one of four games that, man, maybe they really got fleeced on this trade. I wonder if they're regretting it now that they're 2-2. And of course, Watkins has been struggling. The Browns get Gilbert and a future first rounder for him. What kind of toll does that take in a locker room where, you know, you're Sammy Watkins, you basically were acquired for two first round picks? Is that something that plays on the minds in the locker room when he's struggling right now, battling a rib injury, to be fair, but he's been under 40 yards receiving now in three of his four NFL games?
It doesn't affect the whole locker room, but I think that it does waver Sammy Watkins' confidence in himself.
Yeah, a couple drops,
you know,
as well.
Exact, couple drops, not performing at the level you would expect of the number four overall draft pick. And I just think that what happens is guys start to press. You know, you start, you know, running slop, you know, slop. You think you're actually going to go out and play better, but when you start to press, you get sloppier. You know, you're not running the right routes, or you're thinking so much about yourself, you're not thinking about making that block that pops that run, and so many other things come into play. But I think, you know, we'll continue to root against the Buffalo Bills. But what's surprising to us, and this is another team we're going to see later in the season, is the surprising Houston Texans. You know, J.J. Watt and his big, you know, the defensive, I think he's wrapped up with a bow already after four games, defensive player of the year.
He's such a beast.
Again, he is such a beast. He's something to pray for. And again, the Houston Texans are without number one overall Jadeveon Clowney as well.
They are, and I'll give you a fun stat on J.J. Watt. He has more touchdowns this year, too, than Andre Johnson and Arian Foster combined for the Houston Texans. So he has had a monstrous season. And this is a Texan team that is 3-1, and it is doing it largely on the defensive side of the ball. Ryan Fitzpatrick has not been phenomenal thus far. Their defense has really been getting the job done for Houston. For the Bills, you know, they've got that two-headed attack at running back. I think they should give the ball to Spiller more. They don't. EJ Manuel continues to struggle, completed less than 50% of his passes in this one. Two more interceptions for EJ Manuel. And teams in the NFL go as their quarterbacks go, and as a former first-round pick, he's going to be given every opportunity to right the ship. They don't really have another option there in Buffalo. But I thought yesterday, after a quick start, he really regressed in the middle of that game. He gets happy feet. He stares down wide receivers, and that is something that is going to be difficult to correct behind an offensive line that's struggling a little bit in Buffalo. And I think that's going to be the reason they go on the road to Detroit and face maybe the best front in football right now. At least they're playing that way. And this is going to be a tough road. I think the Bills got very fortunate to go 2-0 out of the gate, and I think they could have a tough stretch here coming up.
It definitely is. EJ Manuel, you know who else I throw in that ball of wax just like EJ Manuel is Geno Smith. And I think a lot of the reason is, and I think that we here in Cleveland are so happy to have an offensive identity. You know, yes. That zone run scheme is what we're going to hang our hat on, both, you know, running the ball and the play action that comes off of it. And I think the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets, who I'm referencing in the same division, they both have those identity issues. Do we run the ball? Do we know who we're going to give the ball to? And do we have enough weapons for our young quarterback to rely on to continue to move the chains, get first down after first down, and put points on the board, which we've seen both teams struggle with?
We certainly have. And now, speaking of struggling, a team that was in this five-game stretch that we want to see the Browns go on a 4-1 streak, the Oakland Raiders falling to 0-4. They lose Derek Carr in this game. They're down to Matt McGloin at quarterback. Their old running backs look incredibly old and can't run the football. This is a team defensively that's bad. And Joe Philbin had called out Ryan Tannehill before the week, almost basically took him out of his job. He responded by throwing for 278 with two touchdowns, running for another 35. Miami looks good. Lamar Miller playing well. Mike Wallace has scored in three of the four games. But this Oakland Raiders team right now looks absolutely dreadful. Four more turnovers in this game. They gave up defensive touchdowns in this game. They have just been getting absolutely annihilated by teams week in and week out. Now, they did play the Patriots competitively somehow. I don't know if that reflects more on the Patriots or on them, but this team struggling, certainly across the pond in London. It was ugly at Wembley Stadium.
I'll say this about the Oakland Raiders, only because I've got to see them, you know, two times a year for 6 years straight while I was with the San Diego Chargers, is what separates them is they're a team of individuals. And I think Al Davis did his best to go out and find talented players to come play, you know, in the silver and black, but there was no continuity offensively or defensively. Yes, they've been tough before, but they're never intimidating. I don't think the Coliseum is no longer an intimidating place to play. It's a tough trip to make, but it's not intimidating by any means.
Baseball diamond on the field.
You're absolutely right.
Give me a break.
Which is so true. And I think that, Reggie McKenzie, who actually brought me to the Green Bay Packers, is now the general manager there. His job is on the line. Dennis Allen's job is on the line.
And so there's a rumor that he was fired and then the tweet got deleted.
Exactly. So they're a team that's reeling. They're a place for players to go finish their career and make a little bit of money like Cleveland used to be, which is not anymore. And they're a place to go show out and go get paid to go somewhere else.
Yeah, and right now nobody's showing out for the Oakland Raiders. But staying in the Bay Area, I thought the most impressive game of the week was played by the San Francisco 49ers defense. If you just look at the score, you go 26-21, okay, a solid game. All 21 points for the Philadelphia Eagles came via special teams or defense. They blocked a punt. Darren Sproles had a punt return, and Malcolm Jenkins had a pick six. That was it. Their offense did not score a single point in this game. In fact, they failed to win the game at fourth and goal from the San Francisco 49ers' one-yard line. Nick Foles, two interceptions, failed to throw for 200 yards. LeSean McCoy, just 17 yards rushing. LeSean McCoy now has really struggled, and this is starting to become a little bit of a concern for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's run for 39 yards on 30 carries the last 2 weeks there for the Philadelphia Eagles. So that is certainly an interesting development. But the Niners got back to doing what they needed to do. Give the ball to Frank Gore, and good things happen. 24 carries this week, 119 yards, and the Niners get the win. I thought that was a big win for that team that could have gotten away, perhaps, from Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, a huge win in that new, beautiful stadium they built out there. But speaking of LeSean McCoy, there are a lot of disappointed fantasy football owners who chose him first. Number one overall, or in some cases, people probably picked AP, Adrian Peterson, number one overall, and they're both not
brutal.
Playing up to par. One's not playing at all. So it was good to see the San Francisco 49ers playing the type of football that defensively that I know they're capable of becoming, having spent time there with San Francisco. I mean, they've got number one draft picks after being bad for 8 years. They've got number one draft picks across the board who are finally paying off for them. The one thing for me, and I'm sure for you as a Niners fan that's still concerned, is Colin Kaepernick and his decision making.
Can't take delay a game. I mean,
it's just amazing. I don't think he's living up to his contract, as we were speaking about other guys here in Cleveland not living up to their contract. He needs to step up and play better. That offense needs to find their way because, without Frank Gore on the ground, Colin Kaepernick couldn't have won this football game.
No, and Colin Kaepernick made one of those throws that was no, yes, as he sprints left and literally leaps and throws the ball. He's got a strong arm all the way back across the field to Gore. Turned out to be a 55-yard touchdown on that one. And I think Carlos Hyde, for all the people who said Frank Gore's going away, Hyde's taking over, Frank Gore's still the guy there. Hyde,
oh, he's got it, man.
He's got it, and he runs harder than maybe anybody in the NFL. He's got a little bit of that beast mode quality to him. Big win for the 49ers there in that game. Let's preview tonight's game real quickly, and we'll get into this with Jerod Cherry as well. New England and Kansas City, they do battle tonight. It's the Monday Night Football game. New England not offensively where you would expect a Tom Brady team to be right now. Tom Brady is struggling, just 3 touchdowns on the year, barely over 200 yards a game. They haven't been that dominant offense. They've been good defensively. And they will get Brandon Browner back next week, but that's how they've been winning. Kansas City, a disappointing team. They have struggled. Jamaal Charles will play in this one, but they have struggled offensively. They've struggled defensively. They don't have much on the back end, and if they can't get to the quarterback, they can't do much on D.
You're right about that. And I think New England Patriots, for me, go into that same category as the Green Bay Packers going into this week. It's just a matter of time before Tom Brady and that offense gets their things together. I would not be surprised if he has a great night on Monday Night Football. I think he's some stat like 12-2, 11-3 on Monday night on primetime Monday Night Football games over the course of his career.
Yes.
And I think the Kansas City Chiefs, who were a great football team, a playoff football team last year, I believe, they're hit the injury bug, you know, across the defensive line. Their offensive line is a patchwork together offensive line, and not having, again, a high fantasy guy in Jamaal Charles, both out of the backfield, receiving, and on the ground, hurts them extremely well.
It certainly has hurt them, and we'll see how they do if Tom Brady can kind of get it going. He's been in a slump. Aaron Rodgers was in a slump before this week, and Aaron Rodgers certainly broke out of it in a big way against the Chicago Bears. But I like that little Monday, getting through the whole NFL here, especially taking a look at some of the teams coming up. Don't forget, the Titans have lost 3 in a row. You saw the Baltimore Ravens. They have won 3 in a row with a dominant win over Carolina, 38-10. And the Steelers let one slip away. They're losing 27-24 at the buzzer to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And of course, for those of you already looking at the draft next year, the Bills lose and go to 2-2 as well, which is, again, not a bad thing for the Browns. When we come back, we're going to talk with 3-time Super Bowl champion Jerod Cherry. It'll be 3 questions with Jerod about the Browns, the bye week, the Titans game, the importance of it, and we'll talk a little Tom Brady. What's going on with Tom Terrific? All that and more coming up on CBD here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Jesus, rest his head on below, made a concrete.